Kia ora koutou, ko Ruben Raj aho, and welcome to the Bad Monkey Music Show. This is episode 10, and we are broadcasting live today from the Sky Tower in Auckland on 104.6 FM and via planetaudio.org.nz. Now, last week I explored the world of fantasy music and heavy metal with members of the amazing Carnivorous Plant Society, shout out, and the extremely polite Shepherd's Rain. As always, I've got something special prepared for you, my Bad Bad Monkey listeners. Now, at the start of my show, I usually share how the Bad Monkey is part of the Radio 13 Music Collective. Well, today, you get to meet the other DJs who are also part of the same music collective, or music eclective, as a certain Mr. Bowie likes to say. So I am now going to get everyone to introduce themselves with name, radio show, and their favorite pre- or post-gig meal. So I'm going to start off now here with the wonderful Miss Claire Martin.
Kia ora. Thank you, Ruben.
Kia ora.
I run the Classical Chromatics radio program, and that is mainly classical music, of course, where I get to play with 800 years of music, which is really cool. Well, as regards my favourite snack, well, I must say that if I'm going to a show, I try not to drink during the show so that I can keep my mind clear for writing a review, normally afterwards. So I don't really snack afterwards, I've got to say. If anything, I might have a beer or a wine or something to wind down. If you're asking me as a performer, though, if I'm really nervous for a show, I don't eat before a show. So you save that for after. And the traditional for an opera singer is pasta, of course.
Oh, really?
Yes. So you go out and you're after your opera performance, curtain down, you're in the Italian restaurants.
Oh, fantastic.
So, you get really hungry after a performance because you generally have done all the setup, all the performing, all the nerves, and then you think, right, food. So that's me.
Excellent. Well, there you go, Mr. Bowie.
Good afternoon. My show was just promoted a couple of minutes ago, so you might have already heard it.
Hey.
But I am on every third Saturday of the month. I do 2 hours of my eclectic journey, which is reeling through the years of my personal music collection. And every third show is more contemporary and it's more Americana, which is my main theme. I don't eat before going to a gig either. I'll have a beer or two. But if I am to eat, I love the chicken sliders at the Tuning Fork.
Okay, that's a good choice.
That's it for me.
That's a good choice. Well, what do you say, Boily?
Ruben, how are you? My show is Friends to the Ends. It's on every second Saturday. It's where I get a mate in or a colleague or a friend or actually even a band to talk about music. What's my favourite food after a gig? To be honest, I wish I had the restraints of Claire and Roger, but I don't. I enjoy a lot of beers. I enjoy then actually having a sloppy kebab afterwards.
Ooh, a sloppy kebab.
The best. I mean, you know when you've had a great night when you're going to the kebab without even thinking about it. So that's kind of my measurement.
I wonder what Simon William Todd's going to talk about, because he shared earlier on what his favourite meal after a gig was.
I'm just thinking about sloppy kebabs, Ruben. And then eating after that.
Well, I wonder what you shared before. It starts with a C, right? Come on, right. I dare you to say it.
That's right, girlfriend. I'm Simon William Todd, and my show is called What Simon Says. It's on the first Saturday of every month. So the next one coming up is the 7th of September. And I like to go down the White Lady, which is in Auckland Central, if that's where I am. I'm not going to get a taxi there if I've been in Papakura for a gig.
Right.
But I like going there, and I like watching all the really pissed people try and eat a cheeseburger without getting all the grease slopping over their trousers. But yeah, God, their cheeseburgers are good.
Oh, White Lady.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, I haven't tried that.
And the chips are good too.
Mm. Excellent.
When were you last at a gig in Papakura?
Just last night, actually, Roger. It might not have been a real one. It might have been in my mind. Don't you question me again.
That was the paracetamol, I swear. Okay, well, today we are going to look back and talk about some of the top gigs, our top gigs. I say, Ed Naughtiness have started already. Top gigs of New Zealand so far this year, so I'm going to dive straight in. Awesome. Here is Julia Holter.
Talk. the wretched soul.
Julia Holter's words I heard from her Aviary album 2018. I chose this track to represent one of the most awesome gigs I've been to so far this year. I'm, as I've already introduced, the classical music DJ, but for me, this was a really fabulous experience to hear Julia's voice, the production, how an album which is so lush and dense and deep and rich can be put on the stage and still be really powerful, using orchestral instruments and the incredible sort of production that you hear in that track was present on the stage. I also really love her vocals. I've done a lot of listening to a lot of what I call off-voice singing, which is the sort of neo-folk of Birdie or Daughter, and love that. But with Julia's vocals, you hear a real what you call on-voice style, which is really engaged and resonant and rich. And she's got a very unique sort of a genre all of her own, which seems to come straight out of her poetry, and is quite a unique sound.
Yes, and this was at the Tuning Fork, right?
It was at the Tuning Fork, but it was quite a big arena sound, so the sound quality was really good.
It was,
and she just held me captivated, so it was a really special gig for that reason.
And you were not on writing duty that night because we had...
Just drink it in.
That's right. Yeah. And Ruben Meter from Radio 13 in Wellington actually did the review, so he also did the album review, so we hope that our listeners to go over and check that review out, because you have some wonderful photos of me as well.
That's right,
that was a really cool gig
indeed.
And I just want to go around quickly, what does everyone think of the Tuning Fork? General thoughts about that as a venue?
I think it's a great venue. It sounds good. It's got a good space, good height, and nice warmth to it. So I've been to many gigs, both rock and acoustic. And I think it's a little wee treasure that that you should go and see more often.
Very intimate. Roger?
Oh, I just think we'd be lost without it. It's an indulgence. It's hard to make any money out of a venue that small, although I think they probably did on Friday night.
Friday night with Justin, sold out.
But Stuart Klumpers, who did Tea in the Park for many, many years and is here in semi-retirement, he just suggested one day to Steve, let's do something with his space.
Right.
And he loves Americana, and we love him for it. It's a fantastic venue.
It is, it is. So Maisie just came in with her Hawkwind t-shirt.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Look at her. She looks so different after her holiday.
Yeah, I'd hope so. Hopefully a little bit more tan than I was when I left.
You definitely look tan, yes. Welcome. How are you doing?
Thank you.
All right, and we are now going off quickly to the next track. So hang on to your seats.
Celebrate the underdogs, B-sides, album tracks and remixes neglected elsewhere on the airwaves. Plus, tidbits and joy de vivre from musicians and creatives. All this with me, Simon, on What Simon Says. Every first Saturday night at 8:30 on 104.6 Planet FM. Or anytime, online at planetaudio.org.nz/What Simon Says.
Light Up the Sky by Prodigy from their 2018 album No Tourists, and I was lucky enough to go and see Prodigy this year, what turned out to be their last ever gig because of the sad passing of Keith Flint a couple of weeks later, which is a shock to everyone, and compounded how good they were, to be honest. I went to that gig and I caught the train to Henderson, and I had a lovely walk along the creek. I recommend to everyone that walk. You go through the Garden of a Thousand Trees from around the world, and you get to this Truss Arena, which is kind of like a dodgy gym hall from the 1980s, and you kind of expect there to be a paedophilic kind of caretaker in the corner. It was amazing, and I broke the rules reviewing, and I just put my notepaper and a pencil in my pocket, and I went down the front and moshed the whole time.
Hey, that's
the
way to do it.
Only way to do it, mate.
I haven't done that for a long time, and it was amazing because there was a lot of people with their tops off, mostly blokes.
God, that's good.
From is it good?
Well, depends how you feel.
I'll leave that there. that's the lawyers, that comment. But it was amazing, and I think that album is you know, a lot of people said it was kind of like backed. It was kind of a Prodigy dot to dot kind of album because it was very much like their kind of the sound that made them the kind of mainstream hit makers that they were. But I think it fits in really well with their old stuff, which is kind of what everyone wanted to hear. But that song particularly was really good and sweaty. And it was, yeah, I mean, I think I said in my review, which you can find on radio13.co.nz, that Keith Flint did keep walking off. And then coming back on and looking a bit old and lonely.
Wow.
But I kind of put it down to the fact that it was the last gig on the tour.
Wow.
But I think that was kind of a retrospective thought I had. But they were amazing. And, yeah, DJ Maxim, he's such a good hype man. And
yeah,
was
pretty cool.
It was so good.
All right, well, here is now another one of Simon Williams' Todd Choices.
You know, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes. Blood coming out of her wherever.
That was Trump Hole by a band called Unsanitary Napkin, who are straight out of Wellington in Aotearoa, New Zealand. I saw them. I wasn't reviewing that gig, but they were supporting Pussy Riot, who came here earlier on this year. I think Kay Powell reviewed that gig, right?
Yes.
That's also on the Radio 13 website. But that was a gig at Auckland's Town Hall, which I think is one of the best venues, I think, probably in the world that I've ever been to, not just for classical music, but I think it serves a really good purpose as a rock venue too. And unfortunately, it was kind of only just plausibly full.
Right.
But that band played, and, you know, Pussy Riot, well, kind of, I think everyone was there to see them, but... And they were good. They did the kind of stage adaptation of their Read and Write, Pussy Riot Guide to Activism. And that was good, but it was kind of more like a theatrical performance. And Unsanitary Napkin just came on and just kind of was a breath of fresh air, really. It was kind of, yeah, like waking up all the ghosts of the people that probably fell asleep at a classical music concert in 1952 up on the balcony and going, oi, this is now, mate. No offence.
They have a very particular way of playing as well, right?
Yeah, they do.
The way they lay out the stage.
Yeah, there's three of them, and they kind of just kind of, they're quite far apart, and they kind of face each other in a triangle. They don't look at the audience.
Yes,
they just
that's
kind
right.
of, it's very much heads down and playing what they play.
Yes.
But I thought they were amazing. But yeah, as usual, you know, we've talked about this before, but maybe it's not going to happen until the future, that no one seems to move. New Zealand audiences don't like moving.
Because
it seems that if you move, don't move, don't move. That will imply that you feel something. Don't let them feel that you feel something, because that will be a weakness. Don't move. So even at this gig, you know, there were maybe two teenagers down the front moving, but everyone else was going, no,
No, stand still. No.
But it is like that. It's like that a lot of gigs. And musicals or concerts or whatever. It's, we just seem to be a reserved bunch of boring bastards sometimes. and really,
we're just shy.
Well, yeah, but that's not an excuse, Roger. I mean, seriously, we should be up there. I mean, I've seen gigs where there is actually some movement and been in there a little bit, and that's not, doesn't look good when you're an old pale male stale man like myself bopping up and down to a bit of Stranglers or something, but you just gotta enjoy it a wee bit, don't you? And I think that goes for particularly musicals as well.
I think it's the dancing that New Zealanders are shy of. Actually, they're famous for listening intently, but if you've got this gig with energy, people are shy to get out of their seats and actually dance. That's a nice thing to see, if people are unreserved.
What about a younger perspective? What do you think, Maisie? Are the younger generation now a little bit more...
We're a bit boppy.
You're a bit boppy.
We're a little bit more over the place, but I think it depends on the gig as well. Like, gigs down at Whammy and stuff, I find that the crowd is always, you know, there's always a decent mosh and things, but, you know, at Anthology, sometimes people will complain about the lack of seats, so, you know, it kind of depends on the gig, I think, as well.
Well, Roger, can you introduce the next track? Why did you choose this one?
I get to do an intro.
Special.
It's a somber moment. It's March the 15th, Day of Infamy. And I'm invited by Marty Dudar up to the 13th floor to meet with Alejandro Escovedo and Adam McGrath's there. And they're doing Marty's thing, short interview and a couple of songs. Marty's got his Mott the Hoople records all over the place because he knows Alejandro is a big fan of Ian Hunter. And he makes the request, which is duly responded to. And the song is I Wish I Was Your Mother. We should hear it now. There's no use me pretending.
Is there a happy ending? I don't think so. For even if we make it, I'll be too far out to take it. You know you'll have to shake it from my hand.
So a happy occasion at the time, but of course, unbeknownst to us, the shootings were happening almost at exactly the same time down in Christchurch. So we went away, the world changed, and I thought, how on earth are these guys going to get up tonight and do their gig? And I even thought about, you know, whether I should go or not. But along I went, and happily Adam was there, and he got up early, threw away his set list and just played and talked. And, you know, I must say I respected him, but I'd never been a huge admirer of Adam McGrath. But after his performance, which I wrote and still feel was just totally courageous, I admire him now. I'm a big fan. He did a great job. And then Alejandro came on, just totally shattered, not the cheerful fellow that we had seen earlier in the day. And he looked like he didn't want to be there. He looked like he felt that he was in some way responsible. He told us that him and his wife had come across to New Zealand and Australia to get away from all of this stuff. And here it was happening. So he too put on a hugely courageous performance. It was just him and his acoustic guitar. And then about three quarters of the way through, he went down into the crowd. It was about two thirds full. And he and Adam played two or three songs in the middle of the audience, including another version of I Wish I Was Your Mother. So that night will stay with me absolutely forever. And I'm just writing a note to myself that I must play Mott the Hoople next time round on my show, so listen out for that.
Ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be a music DJ, so I could play the songs that I loved and share them with other people, hoping they'd love them too. Hi, my name's David Boyle, but my friends call me Boyley, and I want to introduce you to my show, Friends to the Ends. I'll have a special guest each show to share their favourite music, stories and thoughts. We pick a theme, play songs, and talk about why they mean so much. So hopefully you'll discover new songs or be reminded of others that may have been lost in time that take you back to places like it was yesterday. And if you're wondering about the name, it's a nod to my great friend and Kiwi music icon, Mike Chun of Split Enz, who was one of the inspirations for the show and the first to feature. So if you love music and want to have a laugh while hearing some great songs, come and join me every second Saturday at 8:30 p.m. on Planet 104.6 FM. Or any other time at planetaudio.org.nz/friends-to-the-ends.
Need it so bad. never get old.
Right, that was Need Never Get Old by Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats. Goodness knows where he got that name from, but it is, and still is probably one of my most favourite concerts I've ever been to. I was very fortunate to have not only interviewed him, Nathaniel, but also go and see the concert. I first heard that song when I was in Washington. I'd just spoken at a conference. I was coming back feeling a little bit flat. And just down a little side street was this jukebox sounding, laughing and yelling, and this music was pouring out of the basement of this little cafe bar. So I just got drawn into it, and I heard it, and that was these guys. And it was back in 2016 when the album was released, and it was always my wee dream. If he did come over here, we'd be able to have a chat. So,
do you have lots of wee dreams?
I have, yeah. Well, maybe that's why it's called the Night Sweat, Simon. Do you think?
Oh, nice.
I mean, if you want to go down that road, we can keep doing that all day.
So,
yeah.
Just put them out. Keep cheering us up, boy. I was at this show. It was a fantastic show.
This was at the power station, this right? Yeah, a perfect venue for it.
Look, the power station is kind of my home away from home. Mm. I love the St. James, and it's just an absolute disappointment that place is not going, but Power Station's really picked up that space where live music, and yeah, people actually were jumping up and down like mad idiots and having a hell of a lot of fun. And it's kind of my mantra. I mean, people choose to get old, I think, sometimes, and I guess my philosophy is, well, you can do that later.
And this was a packed stage, right? They had everyone on that stage.
There were nine in the band, and of course they had just released their second album, and it was a real banger as well. So it was great to see a cross section of the audience too, and everyone layering it up a little bit. And it would be fair to say, I think I had a couple of kebabs that night, so it must have been a good one.
I had a few beers. I think it's Sam Cooke meets Sly and the Family Stone. What do you reckon?
Yeah, look, they're his influences. And when I interviewed him, I said, it's kind of like the Blues Brothers on steroids. I mean, the musicianship, the songwriting, that kind of gospel sound, because he came from a family that went to church and sang in the gospel, and he was brought up on gospel choir. So you can hear that heart, that southern heart, just beating like a...
There's a great Netflix doco called From Austin to Boston. I don't know if anyone's seen it.
No.
Mumford and Sons are involved.
Oh, my God.
One of the old crow, but Nathaniel's in it.
He
goes back to his hometown, and you'll learn a lot about the guy.
Well, he's certainly a man that likes a few pies, put it that way, but, he's a good singer as well.
We all love a bit of pies.
Yeah, nothing wrong with a good
and
pie.
And Simon loves Kula Shaker pies. So here... No, come back.
No, I'm not. I'm not even responding.
Oh, don't be like that. Okay. Come on.
I played Cooler Shaker on my show.
Yeah,
that's why he loves you for it.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to get everyone back on track, because this is a song from a band that I regrettably did not go to see, but I think you will know quite quickly who it is.
Double check that.
Boily, take it on.
That was the Raconteurs, of course. I have to say, it is my most favourite concert of the year, and I'm sorry, Nathaniel, because I really wanted that to be the best, but Jane, who was with me, thought they sucked really badly, other than a couple of tracks, but she told me that afterwards, which was a blessing, because I felt like a little schoolboy again, and I think every guy that was there pulled out their air guitar. Jack White just demonstrated cock rock at its best. He was prancing around like a rooster. He was on fire, and he genuinely, to me, showed what a real star, what star quality really is. I mean, there's plenty of people faking it, but this boy, he's just been drinking that juice for so long. He's having a ball, and, you know, I must admit, it was, it took a long time to get to sleep that night.
Macy and I were sitting at the Tate Awards watching the award ceremony when we, and yes, I think...
We watched history instead. I tell myself it
was just amazing to see that quality of musician at the Power Station. I mean, those guys could have filled an arena.
Deserve it. But you don't want to see them in an arena. You want to see them in a place like the Power Station.
Oh, yeah, definitely. All right, well, we have to quickly go through, and here is the next one of our favorite gigs this year. Arena, 25th of April, and this was the first sold-out show of her When We Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go World Tour. I was just drawn to this energy. I mean, the screaming was non-stop, and I think the Radio 13 writer Cameron McCurdy said it very well in his review when he described Billy bounce around the stage, switching between vulnerable, cocky, and comedy remarkably quickly. And her body was a conduit for the songs she sang. Every second was a performance. I think that says it all. I mean, I've seen lots of big gigs before, but the incredible energy of this daring young artist who was just doing shit her own spooky and kooky way was just endearing. And I know I'm going to be hated for it, but maybe not. What do all of you think of it?
I think hate is a very strong word.
Yeah, we don't like the word hate.
No, it's a very strong word. I wouldn't attach enough emotional attachment to my opinion of you, having heard what you think of that, to say that I'm going to hate you for it. I just wonder if anyone will be saying in 10 years' time, Billie Eilish, who?
Well, maybe her second album's going to determine that.
I remember reading on the internet quite a lot about people on Billie Eilish.
It's closer. I can't quite hear you, Maisie.
Sorry. And they were saying lots of young people on the internet, they were all talking about how it was like she'd invented this new genre of music, which I thought was kind of hilarious to me, because it's not like a new genre. It's just that she's taking all of these other genres and putting it into pop, and so it's the first time that people have heard this, and they're all like, it's revolutionary. But yeah, I like Billie Eilish. I think that it's what she's doing is fun and cool, and it's nice that there's some new music.
And funny enough, we just found out that our senior member of the team here actually likes Billie Eilish too. What do you say to that, Mr. Bowie?
That sounds slightly ageist, doesn't it? Just saying.
My show is eclectic.
And old.
Proves the point. I bought the CD. I liked it. My 10-year-old daughter stole it from me. We both like it.
There you go.
You also like Kula Shaker. So
here we go again.
And Gomez.
Billie Eilish has enough talent to make it to second album and then transform herself. I mean, she's how old? 18?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
I think
knows
she was
she
before 18,
here.
Yeah.
There's no bad thing being in pop.
Actually, you know what?
Nothing wrong with that. Dead by 27, I reckon.
she is actually, I have to say, she's actually quite funny. I met her at Laneway, and she's quite bratty cute. But there you go. Dead air.
Hey, my name's Roger Bowie. It's my real name. I wasn't born Roger Jones. I've been collecting music for over 50 years, so join me on my eclectic journey, and I'll play my music for you. Lots and lots of vinyl. One song from every year starting around 1964 and carrying on through 2 2-hour shows, about 50 tracks. And then, in a more contemporary mode, I finish off every third show with 2 hours of pure Americana. So tune in every third Saturday of the month at 8:30 on Planet FM 104.6 or stream anytime on planetaudio.org.nz/Roger's Eclectic Journey.
I was out to get myself gainfully employed.
All right. Big up to the Burnside family. Representing Hollis Spain.
No matter how low I go, grew up a poor boy, same job in the corner you can't buy. I remember the days, y'all, all we had to eat was right.
That's Cedric Burnside, R.L. Burnside's grandson, with some hill country blues. And I really enjoyed this for a couple of reasons. The music, but, you know, I've been going last 3 years to Nashville, and I've been down in the Delta a couple of times to Clarksdale and done the tours and done the Mississippi Blues Trail. And, you know, it's fascinating. It's fantastic. A lot of gravestones. But the horrible thought struck me during one of those visits that there aren't any more old guys around. You know, Buddy Guy is one of the last. And, you know, I had the heretical thought that maybe the blues is dying. And then Ruben gave me this assignment for Cedric Burnside.
To speak to him, right? To interview.
To speak to him.
Yeah.
And I knew of him. I knew R.L. Big Daddy, he calls him. So I did my homework and listened to the music and spoke to him, and he's a lovely guy. And he introduced me to Hill Country Blues, and then he did his gig at the Tuning Fork, and it was just so powerful in its simplicity. Just him on the guitar with the drummer, and then they swap. And, you know, it's porch music, it's hypnotic, it's trance-like, it evokes, you know, the parties at the end of the long, hard day in the fields on the... on the porch, drinking
moonshine,
smoking hooch with his big daddy, and you know, there's a lot of the trauma that you get from the blues, but there's also hope. But we made it, and so Cedric Burnside for me is the new hope of authentic blues still with us. That's why I think it was such a great gig.
He is truly such a humbling personality. You see him on stage, he's smiling, you know, and he just gets on his guitar. There was no fuss, no fuss, just plays the blues, man.
And he's a genuinely humble guy.
Yeah,
there's no ego about him. It's, yeah, I'm a fan.
Big one.
Just be on the internet forever and ever, ever. But anyway, let's do it. It goes 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Schizophonics, Whammy Bar, 23rd May. And I think Pat's intro of that track says it all. Reckless abandonment or just living with the music in the present and now. I mean, this was a fucking great band to see performing because Pat hurls himself recklessly, raggedly from side to side of the stage. And he's got his wife, Letty Beers, on drums and Blake Lindquist was on bass for this particular show. So I need to give a big shout out to John Baker for getting this band, the Schizophonics, from San Diego to New Zealand because they are just phenomenal. And this, I got to say, as a photographer, was one of the hardest gigs for me to photograph because it's Whammy Bar, there was just a single light. And again, you get this crazy man on guitar hurling himself from side to side. And I got some of the most amazing shots of my career as a music photographer from that gig. So check it out on radio13.co.nz. And you just simply got to go and listen to Land of the Living by this band and their second album coming up, People in the Sky, which is on Pig Baby Records in October. Anyone else here heard of the Schizophonics?
No, not I. Sorry.
Not till now.
Not till now either.
I saw the photos, though. I remember them going around on Facebook, and I thought they were really good. And I looked at them, and I was like, oh, my gosh, that must have been an amazing gig. It looked pretty incredible.
I hope they do come back because, yeah, I just can't get enough of them. I've been buying their records now and already pre-ordered my next one. All right, Claire, tell us a little bit about Classical Chromatics.
Okay, yes, so I've just had a second program of Classical Chromatics last night.
Last night, yeah.
At 8:30 p.m. and I get the privilege of being broadcast every fourth Saturday, so another three Saturdays from now. I get an hour to present some classical music, and it's kind of a privilege to choose music that means something to me, but also to just explore what the kind of boundaries are and how classical music has informed contemporary music as well, and often you get the classical sounds blending with rock music or otherwise. So I'm trying to stay within the classical genre, but that's the particular angle that I'm interested in, is how it's used in contemporary stuff.
Excellent. Well, maybe you can help introduce this next track.
Sure.
Your pick.
Yeah, I kind of have to fight my corner here because we got some really exciting music and truly eclectic. I guess the classical thing for me and what interests me is that I do listen to a lot of non-classical stuff, probably mainly, but the reason I need classical music is that it expresses loss, it expresses grief, and also it's a way of finding calm. So I would guess that most people in this room are sort of living a lifestyle a bit like me, where you kind of have five lives going at the same time, and it's like, it's incredible. You're working as you're driving, which you shouldn't admit to, but the life is so fast. So in some ways, this next piece expresses the moment where you just stand still. But also for me, it's a piece that is immersive. Some classical music can disappear into the background, so I agree with what Simon's comment earlier. Sometimes it is really literally a dying art form if people are not involved in it. In this concert, which was Voices New Zealand Choir, this is Eric's Ehrenwald's choral piece called Stars, written in 2011. And the choir fanned out around the audience, and I thought it was just water to drink with, but then they started this ringing tone by putting wet fingers around the top of wine glasses, which we've all done at drunken parties, conceivably. But in a cathedral setting, it set up this this kind of wah, 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 wah effect. And then they also had Tibetan bowls, which, to explain what that is a beautiful composite, 24 different precious metals put together in a bowl shape. And when you play it with a stick, it creates this harmonic tone. And then the choir starts in, and it was just mind-blowing. It just instantly, tears came to my eyes. So you have to listen to this fairly loud, because then you can imagine sitting in this acoustic space and having this music go through your brain. And I think the secret is to find calm in the midst of chaos. And in that moment, that's how I find my calm.
All right, we're
no
on
pressure,
the
air.
Eric Ehrenwald's Latvian composer, Stars of 2011 with the Latvian State Choir.
All right, cool. Well, cool. Claire, maybe you can start remembering what are some of the other gigs that you liked last year.
So many. I would say that I picked Julia Holter and Voices New Zealand because of the particular songs that stood out for me. But every concert I go to is special in a way, but I'm still holding out for some more gigs this year, so there's more space. Watch the space.
All right. Simon William Todd.
I really enjoyed Gaz Coombs, who's former lead singer of Supergrass, who came over here with his third solo album, The World's Strongest Man, which is
He was solo, if I remember.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, oh, cool. And you know, there was a lot of people I think who just holding out for a kind of Supergrass number, but it's just him and his acoustic guitar and his his amazing voice and his songs, which are quite reflective, and he's been through a big journey, ups and downs of depression. So it was a really good, really good gig. Also enjoyed Nico Case, that she was part of the Auckland Dance Festival.
Yep,
and
that's right.
That was a great gig, kind of out of my comfort zone. And again, that was 2 days after the Christchurch shootings, and her band dealt really well, I think, as being a kind of catharticism for the all the people in the audience. Yeah. And I also happened to pop across to England, and I saw Suede in July.
Which of course, was, have to be.
You're always going to expect a bit of Suede, right?
Of course I am.
Simon's but number one band of all time.
Remind me who Suede are again?
They're kind of like
they're on shoes.
They're kind of like the they're a poor man's cooler shaker, Roger.
Okay, so quickly, Hugh Cornwall, Stranglers, I interviewed him, which was amazing, and he called the cricket result for the year, which was disappointing. The other band that I've got a truckload of interest in, and they played incredibly well at the Anthology Lounge, was Table Fox, and they're actually going to be on my show. Hopefully, if I can hold a mat, we've been missing each other, but I think it's the 14th. It's the second Saturday in...
yeah, that's right, 14th.
Is that right?
Yeah,
so it's we're going to be on there.
Well, you better do a fucking good show, because I'm giving up again another photo gig to be with you, bro.
Look, you're going to make the show awesome, Ruben. But so will Table Fox, and they're a part-time, full-time band. I love them, and we're going to hear a lot about them when they come to my show.
Okay, Roger.
I had the best time of the year down in Gore for the Country Music Awards and a little bit of the gold guitar. Because, I come from down there. And,
it's not your fault, Roger.
It's the only place in the world where I still get called young fella. I mean, my brother, who's 70, and I went in to see the old aunt in the home, and she said, "What are you boys doing here?" So on the next show, I'm going to play a lot of the music that I saw in Gore. Jenny Mitchell, Lockie Hayes, Miller Yule. It's a rock star name from a young fellow here in Auckland.
Fuck, we should just do a trip now.
Kieran Fields, who I saw opening for Wallace Byrne. Yeah, I'd heard of neither of them. She blew me away, and she was down there too.
Kieran's cool.
She won the Songwriter Award. So watch the space.
All right.
Third Saturday of this month, Americana and Gore.
Mm. Okay, Maisie, how about you?
I must say Prodigy was definitely a standout for me this year. I think that always will be. I really loved Anderson .Paak as well earlier in the year.
Oh,
yes, I love Anderson .Paak as well. I listen to his music in my spare time instead of shooting. I was like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. But I'm really excited for the gigs upcoming this year as well. I think there are going to be some really good people coming through. So, I'm pretty excited for the rest of the year as well.
Excellent, excellent. And I have to also remember the Aroha Nui concerts that were held in Auckland and Wellington. And the support and just all the artists is getting together and just playing their hearts out, sharing in the moment with the whole country. That was pretty amazing, wasn't it?
No, it was.
Yeah. And what's coming up? So we got The Other's Way. And what are the other names coming up?
It's got Ride this week.
Yes, that's right. You Ride, and me, brother.
Seminal kind of 90s band from England. Kind of shoegazy.
Shoegazy.
Newgazy, they call it these days. The kids are calling it,
Aldous Harding.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm definitely going to get some designer. Mm. Well, this is it for episode 10 of The Bad Monkey Show. And thank you to the Radio 13 Collective Eclective, as I think I shall call them now. Yeah. Wonderful DJs. And check them out Saturday night and my show here Sunday afternoon, 12:30. The Bad Monkey is going to continue being bad so you can be good.
You got ourselves to mix it, you stand up for your boy. And I ain't about to run. Put your gun down, boy. How did I get mixed up with this fucking monkey anyhow?